This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's a great day in this part of the world, and we hope it is with you wherever you are and whenever you're listening to us, whether it's direct to air or on podcast. With me in the studio, I've got
Phil, who's a bit croaky. Now that I hear myself, I'm a lot croaky.
And I'm Gordon, and I'm not croaky. Phil, you've got that croak for a little while, haven't you?
Oh, this is another one.
I'm
collecting them this year.
Oh, are you? Oh, how many have you had now?
This is number three.
Oh, well done.
And I thought we didn't have cane toads in Victoria.
Victoria, not yet.
Are you calling me a toad?
We're not here to be talking about neutered things
at
all.
No, we'll be talking about gay people and gay events and other activities that are happening in the general timeline.
Oh, yes, and there's something that a lot has been happening, hasn't there? And the main thing that we've had here in Australia has been November 11, Remembrance Day.
Yes, I've heard some reports on news indicating that, of course, it was those celebrations or remembrances were still rolling out in Europe and other parts of the world as the 24-hour cycle works through. And one of the most important things that piqued my interest was Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron in Paris walking together hand in hand at the celebration when, in fact, 100 years ago, those two peoples would not have been able to do such a thing because they were at war with each other.
Well, the Kaiser certainly wouldn't have done anything, would he?
No.
That's for sure. But they also had a cuddle too as well. They had a kiss on each cheek with the French style of kissing of the cheeks,
yes,
as well with Angela Merkel and Monsieur Macron.
Yeah.
it was nice to see. The biggest thing of the all is, of course, is love. You know, love will conquer all eventually.
Phil, you were saying before that the celebration is not of the war, but of the
end of the war.
Yeah.
Which I want to specifically point out that we're not glorifying war. We're just explaining how joyous we are at the fact that we have wars still, but the end of that war was going to be the end of all wars, wasn't it? It was the great war to end war.
And yet somebody pointed out it was called the war to end all wars because they felt that nobody could afford to go to war anymore after it.
Well,
that was one of the things that they thought, but it certainly changed in about 20 years' time, didn't it?
Well, munitions became a world industry.
Yes.
The one resource that wasn't replaceable particularly easily was the people who lost their lives.
The manpower.
Exactly.
Because
and woman power.
We had to import a lot of young English people to Australia to replace the young men that had been killed in the war here from Australia. And my father was one of those, and that's why he was in Australia. So it was what they had to do to replace the manpower because there was 60,000 people, Australians were killed or something rather. And we only had a population of about 1.5 million or something like that. So it was a huge amount of the population that was taken away.
And I think it was good this year that the focus seemed to be actually on the European war in Northern France.
Well, that was the main battlefield, really, wasn't it? The amount of people that were killed on the Somme and in Villers-Bretonneux and all around there, and Amiens, and all those places, it was just thousands of people just died, and there are so many people there in graves that are unknown. They don't know who they are, which is sad.
But those same names come up in the Second World War, don't they? The same locations, which just shows you how little was gained.
Well, they didn't learn anything, did they? you know. Yeah. But it was a different style. One thing, you had the Kaiser, who was a bit upset about what England did to him when he went to visit Queen Victoria, who was his auntie or his grandmother. And what Hitler came up with in the end, totally different concept. Mm. But it was just meant the same thing.
Two things out of that. It was heartwarming to notice that some of the towns in northern France that were the sites of where the Australians were still respect and honour the Australians of Remembrance Day.
Yeah, Villers-Bretonneux is the main one. They have big sign up that says Remember Australia.
Yeah,
all the time, you know. And they and Mr. Abbott had a huge big new Australian War Memorial built there too, with 11,000 names carved in the marble. Mm.
And it's significant to point out we're talking 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
which is very hard to put in perspective.
There were some very interesting things on the television too, where they showed a woman. I think she was 91 or 92. She was in a wheelchair, and her father had been to the Great War, and she was very adamant that war was a waste of manpower and money and time and everything. She thought it was absolutely no reason to go to war for anything, you know, which is true, you know, war.
Well, that was summed up in the 60s in all those protest songs.
Yeah.
And it's like, war, what is it good for?
What is it
absolutely
good for?
Absolutely nothing.
We've had quite a few experiences of wars where we've lost a lot of our people in the defence of other peoples.
I can never see the value in that. I can't see why we get dragged into these wars all the time, you know.
Well, we help our buddies because we hope that they will help us.
Yeah. But but
you need to think about that right now, because if we really needed America right now,
I don't think we'd get it.
You think they'd be there for us?
No, I don't think so. Not with the... Not with the president they have now.
Wouldn't put my money on it.
I wouldn't put my money on it either.
He might end up being trumped.
Oh. This is a celebration, a remembrance of the diggers lost at wars, where it's not actually Gallipoli.
Anzac Day is Gallipoli.
And our contributions are much wider than the things that are remembered on Anzac Day.
Yeah,
so I think that the knowledge of our roles is actually broadening. We're having a sense of reality and perspective.
There was a family on the television too, with one of their relatives, or whoever it was, must have been grandmother or something or other, or she was a nurse at Gallipoli, and she had written about letters home, and there was about 80,000 words or something or other, a lot of words. And they had given the documents to the War Memorial people or something. They had printed them, but they had been redacted and they'd been changed and they'd taken stuff out of the things. But the family have found the original documents again, and they have transposed the lot, and it's going to be reprinted. It's going to be published. So
that's the benefit of time passing.
Mm.
So you can publish accurate and truthful statements now without necessarily hurting people that were affected.
Yeah, well, what they were saying, what I think was one of the relatives was saying, that the nurse had said how the Australian soldiers realised that they shouldn't be there and they didn't want to fight, and they made them sound like cowards, so they cut that out. They wouldn't print that.
No.
But she was being honest in her observations were of the working on the front line. Mm. So it's interesting.
And some of the people involved in the military, like Monash, probably still have their real story reproduced.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, yeah. It was a dreadful war, must have been a dreadful thing. When you see the film clips, the actual film clips that came from it, with the fighting in the trenches and the rain and the mess and the mud and the horror of
and
it
the
all.
Gas, and the mustard gas.
Yes, yeah, it just... It certainly wasn't nice then, and it's not nice now.
And then we see on TV how the current president couldn't land because of rain in his high-tech helicopter.
He wouldn't go to one of the cemeteries, to the Americans' only cemetery, because he said they couldn't land the helicopter in the rain. Oh, my God.
You can't mask disrespect.
You can't at all. It's very hard to do that. And that man is so full of disrespect, it's not funny.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9.
Yes.
Thanks very much for being with us.
And that was a very interesting little thing that came on there about the 15th of November.
Yes, well, we will be doing things, talking about that in the little chat that we're about to embark upon.
Yes.
But later on in the program, we'll have some international news about things happening to the GLBTIQ communities around the world. And from the anniversaries book, we've got some people to honour, to recognise. They're having yes. birthdays, or they've died round about this time on the calendar in previous years.
But the 15th of November, who would have thought it would take that bloody long to get to a vote for equal marriage, or a result of for equal marriage, you know?
It was the political process.
Oh, yeah.
And those in charge of the political process were saying, well, we're not going to give it to you any rate, and we'll put as many hurdles as we can in your way so that you can never get to what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think, Chris, that they may have thought we would have fallen at the first hurdle, but it only made us jump higher, I think. The whole bloody postal thing needn't have happened. We had to get past all those very hard-line conservatives, didn't we?
The actual process was fairly simple. A reply paid envelope was mailed out by the Australian Bureau of Statistics to every person on the federal electoral roll. And the survey form asked the respondents, should the law be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry? The survey offered two one-word responses, yes or no.
That couldn't have been any simpler, could it?
It couldn't have been any simpler, and it was rather impressive, as you were saying, the arguments before people voted.
On another topic related to this, there was a message that went around asking gay people not to put glitter in the envelope because it would be an invalid vote.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But all those sort of things, you do exactly as you're asked. It didn't affect me very much because I'm an older bloke, but I thought the young people were being very, very, got into basically, you know, the things that were being said would have been very, very disheartening to young people coming out as gay.
Imagine, well, we know how it feels.
Yes.
But we grew up knowing we couldn't get married.
Yeah.
And they're growing up knowing that a big chunk of the population doesn't want them to have equality.
Yes.
That's worse.
That's right. This is what it is. It preyed on their psyches and all the rest of it, you know, because they, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, I can't help the way I am.
But what bugs me is that most of the objection is on religious grounds.
Oh, yeah.
So they're saying, well, 2,000 years ago, this guy wrote a book and we get all our knowledge and wisdom and direction from that book.
Yeah, but they're
not allowed to think for ourselves.
Yeah, but you choose which paragraph or which sentence.
Oh, you paraphrase the whole thing to death.
That's right. Yeah,
you know. My opinion is religion has just as much validity in my bedroom as me having sex in a church is valid to the religion. What disturbs me is this show we've got on network TV at the moment about the people objecting to marriages and still hearing words or sayings like, you know, God invented Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Oh, yeah,
Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to name it.
But no, I think it was important to know that they've actually recognised the fact that it's an unequal argument by using the word prejudiced, prejudging.
So the fact that we've got the law now doesn't mean the fight's over.
Oh, God, no, we still
because those people are still there.
We've still got that religious thing to come yet, Mr. Ruddock's little time bomb that Mr. Turnbull left for the rest of them.
We won't see that till after the federal election. It's a time bomb.
But look at what happened with the church schools in New South Wales.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
As a result of the postal survey, 61.6% of the vote responded yes, and 38.4% responded no.
So it was a pretty clear-cut victory, wasn't it?
Yeah, 0.3% of the total voting were unclear or invalid. And the total turnout of this non-compulsory one was 79.5%.
But did you say there was a batch in there that weren't binary?
What
is that?
The funny part about it was that one of the highest votes for yes votes came in the seat of Warringah, where Mr. Abbott is the member.
Yeah.
That was the highest one of the highest yes votes in the whole of the country in his seat.
I wonder what the voting was in Mr. Turnbull's seat.
Very, very high. It was the highest. The very highest because his...
Oh, so it was crossed over, was it?
No, it was...
The federal seat crossed over.
Yeah, no, they're both separate. They're separated by the heads. One's on the north of the Heads, one's on the south of the Heads. But Mr. Turnbull has the highest number of gay people living in his electorate than anywhere in Australia. And his was the highest vote in Australia. Yeah. And Abbott's was almost the second highest, you know.
Mm. Now, we've got to remember in the history of this that several hours after the results of the survey were released, Senator Dean Smith introduced the Marriage Amendment Definition and Religious Freedoms Bill 2017 into the Senate. And he proposed the bill be amended and the definition of marriage be changed to recognise a union of two people.
Well, it used to be that, but John Howard changed it. In about 6 minutes, he changed it.
When nobody was looking.
Well, hardly anybody was looking. He just put in a bill to say that the Marriage Act would be between a man and a woman.
Yeah, because he had a church whispering in his ear.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether
he was pulling the strings.
Well, this bill went up, and we in our community were watching it very, very closely, and fingers were really crossed. I think we were here in the station, were watching it on TV. It was parliamentary broadcast on
ABC 24.
Yeah. The bill passed the Senate by 43 votes to 12 on the 29th of November.
Yeah, you could almost name on one hand the people that voted against it, that's for sure.
But as the result of the survey, knowing what public sentiment is, you're still going to put your hand up and say, I can't evolve. I cannot go along with the mess.
When the vote went to the lower house, of course, I think Tony Abbott didn't vote. He just walked out of the place.
Oh, there's a few people.
There's a few
like
people that didn't.
Yeah.
They walked out. Yeah, they abstained from voting because they didn't want to have their name to it. Now, aren't you supposed to represent your electorate in something like this,
or even your sister,
where you've got you've got this huge vote? Yes, aren't you supposed to do what the electorate wants you to do? That's who elect you. That's
but
why
if they'd done that,
there.
We would have had marriage equality without the postal survey.
Yeah, we would have too. Yeah, yeah. It's great. And there's thousands of people have already been married.
Mm.
And I see that Justice Michael Kirby's getting married next year to his partner of 39 years or 49 years or something.
That's right. No, of 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be
solemnized, yes.
Yeah,
I give him 12 months.
On the 11th of February next year, 2019.
Good luck to them.
And that'll be the 50th anniversary on the day they met. That's Judge Michael Kirby and Johan van Vlotten. So, wow.
And I just feel sorry for the two people that were ostracized because they kissed on television on the ABC, one of the shows that was, and one of the guys wanted to live long enough to see the Marriage Act equalized, but he missed it by about a month or so and he passed away.
That was the documentary in the 60s or 70s.
Right. Yeah. And I felt so sad for them because he just didn't live that long to be able to do it. Yeah. We've got it now, but we've still got to keep fighting for it because after the next general election, it's going to be fun.
And I need to point out the obvious. The sky has not fallen.
Of course it doesn't.
The sun rose the next day.
A lot of hail fell the other day, though.
Oh, well, God's unhappy with us.
God's unhappy with us.
Yeah, take some ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on Joy, been there, done that. When we come back, we'll be talking about international news, and then we'll have some birthdays. And
love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
And you're with Chris Gordon and Phil Bean. They've done that, Joy, 94.9.
That's us.
You've got an itchy nose, Mr. Gordon.
Doesn't that mean itchy nose getting money or something? I'm not sure what it means.
It's palm. Itchy palm? Nose means you're going to sneeze.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
But you might sneeze money.
You might sneeze money.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, interesting facts like that can be heard again and again and again by a podcast.
Oh, yes, of course they could.
And almost all... Is it all? Maybe Joy programs a podcast these days?
Well, most of them are, yes. It's a wide collection. But
and they also have special
there.
Podcast shows, don't they? Just podcast shows.
Yeah. There are. So we're keeping up with the times, although podcasts have been around for
over 20 years. How do people listen?
You can go to the Joy website, look up the program grid, and go straight to Been There, Done That to get the best podcasts made by us. Or if you've got a smart TV... You can look up, go to your podcast section and they're listed alphabetically. Joy is there. You can go search on your smart TV. You can go to iTunes. They Do they sell podcasts or are they free? I don't know.
I don't know.
Apple don't give much away.
And iHeartRadio, they have our podcasts.
Yes, so we're all over the place.
Oh, right.
Try and get away from us.
So I've never listened.
Take us with you whenever you go.
Oh, good. Okay. That'll be fun. You wouldn't want us three dragging along anywhere, would
well,
you?
Well, we wouldn't want to go. We'd just sit here nice and comfortable.
We'd give a running commentary.
Yes. Yeah. What happened here? Oh, we don't know, but we'll find out.
Well, what has happened around the world around about this time? What have we got? First. Well, why don't we talk about the Dexter star, Michael C. Hall?
Oh, the gorgeous Michael C. Hall. Oh. Oh, thank you very much.
He's been around on the TV screens for a little while.
Yes, he played the very gay son of the Undertakers in 6 Feet Under.
And that was an interesting role for him to play because he had a Afro-American boyfriend.
But he was also, when he says that he played that part as a straight man, but because he had to play a gay man, at being straight, he had to play it gay, he wanted to do it justice, so he did it as best as he could, the best of it to his ability to be a gay man in that series. But he's just been appearing on the Broadway stage in Cabaret as the MC, and he's just decided now that he's not totally 100% heterosexual.
No, well, he's obviously comfortable in saying regarding his own sexuality. I think there's a spectrum. I'm on it. I'm heterosexual. But if there was a percentage, I would have to say I was not all the way heterosexual.
Oh,
I mean, that is leaving the door open, is it not?
Yes, it is, yes. Well, I reckon I'd be probably 99% homosexual myself. I don't have to worry about any degrees.
But the characters he's played, the 6 Foot Under, I didn't see many episodes of that.
Mm.
But it wasn't a stereotypical character, whereas I would imagine the MC in Cabaret, coming from a different time, would have been very different.
I would imagine that the MC of Cabaret was, in fact,
totally gay.
He's totally gay. Joel way Gray. Out, over the top gay.
Yeah.
Joel Gray played the original part, and he came out as gay. And it is a very gay part because the MC has all these wild things to do.
And I think the role that he was given in 6 Foot Under was actually probably very wise move by whoever selected him to act in that role, because the selector might have said, my gaydar has gone off and is saying, there is an undercurrent of gayness in this character, in this actor.
Well, the whole family were a bit strange.
They were.
They had different. There was the sister who was sort of, she didn't know whether she was a gay or lesbian, and she had boyfriends, and then dad was the undertaker, he got killed. I have a vague feeling, and then the older brother took over running the place with the help of the younger gay brother. And the mother, she sort of was always in the kitchen.
And who was the Australian actress in that?
Cate Blanchett.
No.
Was it?
Rachel Griffith.
Rachel Griffith, I beg your pardon. Yes,
that's right. So if you get to see that particular series, you will see Rachel Griffith in there.
Yes.
6 Foot Under. Very good. But yes, I think that could have been an awakening for Michael C. Hall to think apart from just being heterosexual. People have an opportunity to be something slightly different. Now, you wouldn't want to be in Poland, would you?
Oh, I put polish on my shoes this morning.
Oh.
Are we going to hear a boom boom?
No, it was a real
clunk.
Because you can polish in the middle of the room, but you've also got to go polish it around the corner.
Yeah, well,
so that was a parrot joke.
Parrot joke, yeah. Andre Duda would support a ban on homosexual propaganda. He's the president, Polish president at the moment.
Oh, golly gosh. I mean, Poland isn't a bastion for LGBTQ equality, with Rainbow Europe ranking the country 38 out of 49 on its equality index.
Yep.
And I think it might slip a bit more after this.
I reckon so. You know, once again, he's freaked out that there might be some educational teaching people how to be gay in schools.
Yeah, well, it says that over 200 schools in Poland had to cancel a pro-LGBTI event a few weeks ago. So it's got the schools had to cancel because they didn't like them. Apparently they don't like safe schools, like some of the people here in Australia don't like safe schools.
But what's the problem in letting kids know it's okay to be different? and it's not okay to hate.
Yeah.
Surely there's no argument against that.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have thought so.
Well, they found one.
They found one, of course, yeah.
Poland was only following what Russia did in 2013 when Vladimir Putin signed into effect a gay propaganda rule which banned the promotion of non-traditional sexual orientations to minors.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's the ostrich effect, isn't it?
Oh, well, we don't want to tell them the truth.
Definitely
I think, well, you can ask America what they think of the Polish. Because
they tell Polish jokes, don't they?
Polish were the first navy to come out with flywire screens on their submarines. So it's a bastion of technology.
Not fly by wire.
Well, see, in those days, everybody told Irish jokes, but they told them as Polish jokes in America, because the Irish have such a big community in America that they couldn't afford to offend the Irish.
So that's why they were.
If any Irish joke that was told, which were quite horrible jokes about the people, they would tell them in America as Polish jokes.
Now, last week we reported about Tanzania and the weird and horrible ways things are going there. But apparently someone has dobbed in 10 guys for being gay purely on the basis of a phone call. They'd been arrested for being...
That was a gay wedding.
Same-sex marriage ceremony was taking place.
Mm.
Golly gosh. Homophobia is really bad in that particular country.
But they would be, like Dar es Salaam is the capital of the city. I would have thought that would be a totally Muslim country too, which are, they don't like people that are gay, and yet there are gay Muslims, you know.
But the police commander said he's found no evidence of unlawful acts. Of course, I don't know whether that meant that they've all had...
Been inspected.
Been medically inspected, yes, sorry about that.
Yes,
I have information about the presence of many homosexuals in our province, and these boast homosexuality on social networks. Give me their names. My ad hoc team will begin to get their hands on them next Monday. So they've started raiding homes of reported gay people.
This is the McCarthy era.
Yeah.
All over again.
Oh, yeah.
He's a communist.
Yeah. But he's gay.
Like we'll go back. She's a witch.
Like you could report anybody that you had a grudge against and tell them that they were gay, either gay or lesbian or whatever. And
I keep forgetting, what year is this?
Oh, yeah, well.
18 something?
I'm not sure.
Well, apparently, since the governor last week called on the public to report anybody they suspected of being gay, apparently more than 5,000 people have been reported to the police.
Exactly what I was saying.
How many police have they got? Maybe they'll learn a lesson, or we'd better not pick on them.
You just wonder where how these people survive, you know. And a lot of these countries are so poor that they can't do anything. You know, they rely on handouts from everywhere else.
But human rights are free.
Well, this is right. Yeah.
Like, I just cannot put into words the...
I guess there's not all these places where they have dictators, of course, which is the problem.
Yeah.
Because they just...
Well, you'd think if the boss was a dick, he'd be more in favour of gays.
Yes, Philip, I think that's about right, yeah.
You're on Joy. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
Oh, lovely station. Oh,
well said, yes. There we go.
We're bringing joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
Something like that.
Mm.
Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me.
Yes.
Thank you, Phil.
Written, spoken and authorised by somebody I don't know.
So often the stories about coming out and living gay lives are greatly affected by the location of the story, the circumstances that wrap around. And an Australian actor and playwright who talked about his gay life, and it was coming out at school... and at a footy match, of all things. And we're talking about Tim Congreve, who was born on the 19th of the 11th, 1959, but died on the 18th of the 11th, 1994.
Is that prophetic or what? You know, when you some people actually die on their birthdays, which is quite amazing.
But he wrote this story, which was turned into a wonderful play and a film, and it was called Holding the Man. And it's an expression within Aussie rules.
Well, it's a law, a rule, whereas...
That's right. If you're holding the man, you get a free kick against you.
Well, it's
illegal. See, if you hold the wrong man, you'll get a kick.
Yes, holding the man is not permitted on the footy field.
That's why.
You have a cuddle in the change room first.
Or afterwards.
Or afterwards, when you're all sweaty.
But his boyfriend in the thing was the school captain of the football team. Captain of the school football team, yeah. And it was a wonderful book, and it's still in public. You can still buy it, being published. And it's one of the best gay books you've probably read in a long time.
It's a play that is replayed quite often, and the film pops up now and again on TV again.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice story, because in the last few years we've had quite a few TV movies, like Barracuda, where that was unrequited love.
That's right.
Which would be, well, I know from my own experience that it's a very common thing. But it's almost, you don't want to see that in film. You want something more uplifting. And something like this where, you know, the two boys were free to express their love is just a really nice thing.
But all through it was the rising of the HIV epidemic, of course, which is what they both succumbed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was the bitter taste at the end of the story.
I mentioned this before, but I did meet Tim Conagrave. He came to the Positive Living Centre in St Kilda where I was working.
Yeah.
Nice man, but he was very sick at the time. It was just wasn't long after that he passed away. But it's an interesting story, and it's a good metaphor. The family did not recognise didn't like the relationship very much at all. No, the John's family, that is, Tim's family was sort of didn't worry too much about it, but the other John's parents were quite against it. But that's what happens in life, isn't it? You know, you get
We can only hope that as time goes on, that will improve.
Oh yeah,
because people, I hope, can evolve.
Getting
but this story and the inclusion of the AIDS crisis in it, hopefully, will be a good reminder for future generations to be careful. Vigilant and careful. And right. You know, you can't live a life carefree.
No, you've always got to be careful in lots of places. Yeah, but it gets back to the idea, if there had been equal marriage in those days, they probably would have been very, very happy with one another. Yeah.
Mm.
But anyhow. But there's, who else is we celebrating too now, Chris?
We could mention Jodie Foster.
Oh, yes. What a great actor.
A film star.
A film star.
Yeah.
A film
making
star.
Those big films.
Yeah. Now, I don't recognise her as a TV or a movie personality. Where would have I maybe seen her?
Taxi? Wasn't it Taxi?
Taxi Driver. In her youth.
Yeah, but she was a very, very young woman, very young teenager in that thing. She was
precocious,
and she was the taxi driver was sort of taken by her or something or other. I never actually saw it. I did read about it, but that was it. But then she was also the criminal person in Silence of the Lambs.
Now, I never saw that one. The reviews put me off. I could be scared of that, so I didn't go and see it.
It was nothing scary in it. It was just a very good story. It was quite incredible.
Well, he was a little bit creepy.
Oh, he was. He was creepy, but you didn't see anything nasty.
Also in a movie called Contact, where they made contact with an alien race who had recorded the initial television broadcasts, which just happened to be the 1936 Berlin Olympics. So they re-recorded or rebroadcast these things back to Earth, and through all her, you know, cleverness and her team's scientific exploits, they decoded the image, and there were these TV images of Nazis coming in from outer space. And of course the American government was not impressed by this, but there was the basic tale of the story is the transmission also had blueprints for a machine that could travel through space. And that I won't spoil any more of the film, but no, it's a really wonderful film. But
now, in all these films, was Jodie playing a straight person or a gay person?
She was straight in Contact.
She was straight in, I would have said she was straight in Silence of the Lambs too.
Right.
The reason she was straight in Contact is that her partner, or, yeah, we'll leave it at partner, was Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
so
right.
To anybody, but anyway.
I read an interesting article over the weekend about a woman who didn't know what she wanted to do in life when she was a young woman. And she saw Silence of the Lambs, and she saw the Jodie Foster character being the criminal psychologist or whatever it is that she is. And so she decided that's what she wanted to be, and now she's one of the top people in Australia of being a criminal psychologist. They call her the murderer whisperer or something or other, because all the people in jails know who she is, and they can ring her and talk to her.
Mm. Was Jodie Foster in Nell?
I don't
know. Is that illiterate? I'm not sure if she was Nell, but nobody would have watched that and aspired to be illiterate.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, I think the only film I've seen with Jodie Foster has been Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. Good movie. Good movie. Anthony Hopkins playing the lead. Oh, yes. By the beans. Yes.
With a little canty. Not spooky at all.
Not spooky at all. No, not at all. Not at all.
And someone who's not on the TV or on movies, having a birthday or round about this time, late in, well, it depends which calendar you go by, the Russian or the Gregorian, 25th of October or the 6th of November, 1893, died Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky.
Say that three times quickly.
Yes, I can't say it quickly.
You can't say it once.
And not with your mouth full of spaghetti.
Russian,
what did he do?
Well, he was a musical composer. And if you've ever seen ballets, a lot of his music was written specifically for ballets, where they had those short girls that need to be taller.
Was he mentioned in the Monty Python song? About the decomposing composers. And they went through quite a list.
Yeah, but he would have been one of them.
But once again, he's one of these people who he was so talented that it almost burst his brain. He could do all these wonderful classical compositions, which were the style of the day, and orchestrate them with 20, 30, 40, 50 various instruments having their own melody lines and putting it all together in his brain and making it and writing it down.
Why didn't he use his computer?
Well, precisely.
Really? Because these people are so backwards.
Because he didn't have a mouse.
That's probably true. And the mouse that he had was probably eating cheese in the basement.
Yeah, that's right. But he had a very unhappy life, actually, because he was actually gay, but he didn't want to be. And he got married and did all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And
that's a nice way to describe marriage.
Yes. Yeah, but he was very upset about that. And he had a very miserable life because of that, because he couldn't get himself to be straight or gay. He didn't
know
what he was.
Well, if you can't be yourself, there's a torment there.
That's right, yeah.
Did he write Peter and the Wolf? Was that his music?
He did. The Swan Lake. Swan Lake. The music to that.
So he had some hits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pretty well for himself.
Most of his ballets was Sleeping Beauty, wasn't it? Was one of these? I can't remember.
Yeah, Sleeping
Beauty. But he wrote a lot of ballet music, and he actually wrote an opera as well, and all sort of symphonies and that sort of stuff.
And they didn't think he was gay.
Well, I don't know.
Well, he tried to succumb to public expectations.
Yes.
And he met the Belgian soprano Desiree Artaud, and they became infatuated with each other. But on the eve of the marriage, he shot through.
Yes, yeah,
he had the cold feet.
I know that feeling. Not that I've been engaged, but...
Well, actually, he did wed her, but their wedding was a disaster. They mismatched psychologically and sexually. They only lived together for 2.5 months before Tchaikovsky left. Oh, he overwrought emotionally and suffering from acute writer's block.
I thought they just invented a new disease there, Chris.
Well, I've been called a blighter once or twice in my life.
So that's poor. I mean, he died at the age of 53, I think it was.
I have a vague feeling he committed suicide somewhere along the line, I think I've read. Yeah.
So
sad life. He had a sad life, but he wrote beautiful music. So I guess he's got to be commended for that, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
Look at the time.
Look at the time. Thank you very much for reminding us that the clock is determined that this show now comes to an end.
Nothing stops time, does it?
So we'll catch up with you next week. Thank you for being with us. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.